Entertaining conversation. Ben Jim. The Jim Snyder Podcast.
Well, I hope everything is going well for you today. Thanks for making me a part of it. I'm Jim Snyder, and this is my podcast, The Jingle Never Lies. That's right, it is The Jim Snyder Podcast, a chance for me to hang out with you for a bit and tell you my story, someone who has low vision, and talk about some of the challenges and things I've had to overcome in my life to reach my goals and dreams. And as always, from time to time, does that make any sense? As always? Well, as always, well, from time to time, we don't do it every time, but from time to time, we bring folks onto the podcast and tell their story. They talk about their goals, their dreams, and today we're going to do that in part two of my conversation with Kelly McDonald of Kelly & Company. He and his co-host, Rumney Amuthan, do the show every weekday afternoon two until four Eastern Time on Accessible Media Inc. all across Canada. And there's a repeat broadcast after the show, I believe, and you can podcast it if you want. But those of you in Canada who are familiar with AMI, you already know this. Some of you who aren't, go check them out. And I believe you can listen to them in the U.S. I believe the stream does go to the States. I'm not positive on that. So don't hold me to that. But anyway, that's what we're going to have Kelly on and pick up our conversation in part two of that. I got another really bad pun coming up. And also we're going to go to the email bag here in just a few minutes. I've got some stuff to share with you. But first, I just want to take a moment. If you'll indulge me for just a moment, I want to acknowledge the passing of a friend. And some of you who listen to the podcast know this gentleman because you know me. And if you're close to me and you worked with me in Charleston, you know this guy. The chief engineer for what is now iHeartMedia, back when I worked there, Clear Channel of Charleston, Willie Bennett, passed away recently at the age of 72. And it was very, very sad. Willie, the reason I bring it up is that Willie, I have to honestly say, in a very small way, has a bit to do with this podcast. Because when I started looking into buying the equipment for this podcast, Willie was one of the people that I reached out to because I had started to see some equipment online that different broadcasters were using to broadcast from home when the pandemic hit about a year and a half ago. And Willie was one who got back to me and I said, Hey Willie, what is this really cool looking piece of equipment? And he told me and talked about it. I shared that in the pilot episode of the podcast, really all about that. So he gave me some suggestions, talked about it. And then later on, when I realized that I was going to be able to build my own studio rather than just have a little corner in my family room that I was using at the time, I called Willie and I said, hey, I'm building a studio. Here's what I'm thinking about. What do you think? And he gave me some things to think about. He talked about some things and gave me his honest opinion and some things that I should do and not do and all that sort of thing, because Willie is an engineer. Well, he was an engineer, and he was a great engineer, one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet. And the thing that I loved about Willie was he was a gentle giant. This guy is literally bigger than me. And those of you who know me, I'm 6'2". Willie is got to be at least 6'4", 6'5", maybe a little bit bigger. But Willie is just a giant of a man. Physically, stature, as I guess that's the best way to put it. But he was just like a big teddy bear, loved everybody, and just so gentle, friendly. I could go by his office when I was working in Charleston. I could pop by his office if I had a question, a technical question, or just poke my head in and just to say, hey, Willie, what's going on? He always had a few minutes to chat. And he was never too busy, obviously, to help you out with a problem. If I I could call him at 3 a.m. or whatever and say, hey, Willie, we're having a problem with this. And he'd be like, oh, okay. And if he couldn't fix it, you know, over the phone by saying, okay, did you do this, this, and this? He'd say, okay, I'll be down there in just a bit. And that was Willie. And that's, you know, part of the job when you're an engineer. And those of you who are engineers or those of you who have engineers in the family in broadcasting, your phone rings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It doesn't matter. Well, that's the thing about Willie. But Willie was never too busy to help out. And he was so easy to talk to. And I remember one instance, and I really got to know this guy. I learned a lot about him at a, I wouldn't say it was a company Christmas party. It was a bunch of folks that worked together. So I don't think this was a formally sanctioned, if you will, company gathering. But I remember it was at his home. It was Christmas time. And we're sitting around and we got on the subject of cigars and moonshine. And I'm thinking, okay, where is this going? And Willie says, just a second, I'll be back. And he disappears. I don't know where he went to, but he comes back out with this bottle and just sets it on the counter. He says, this is good shine. And I'm not a heavy drinker, so one little nip of the bottle was all I really needed. I'm not a shine guy. I am not. But he says, I love a good shine. And it was. This stuff, if there was anything dead inside of me, or I should say, if there was anything that was, you know, inside of me that could have hurt me, it killed it. It's like drinking lighter fluid. But Willie knew about moonshine. He talked about it. He talked about cigars. I remember we were at another party and he says, hey, I got a, you know, because I used to smoke some cigars, not all the time, every so often, because I just like the scent of a good cigar. And he brought some cigars with him to a party, and he says, here, Jim, try this one. And I just never saw that in him. He just didn't strike me as that kind of a guy, but that was Willie. And he was so versed. He could talk, you could talk to him about just about anything. And he was such an even keel person. I never saw him get upset. I never saw him get flustered. I never saw him get angry. It just, nothing bothered this guy. And he was just one of these guys that could just talk to anybody about anything, and he knew what he was doing. And he had been at Clear Channel, and it was J-Cor, and then a couple of other owners before that, I guess. He had been with those stations for a long, long time and had been in the Charleston market for many, many years. So he was well known. Everybody knew him. Willie was one of these guys that just, he didn't make a big deal about himself, but everybody knew Willie. And I don't think anybody ever said anything bad about him. I don't think this guy has a mean bone in his body, or that matter, a mean atom in his body. He was just that kind of a guy, very gentle, and recently passed. And I was really sad to hear about this. I know that he had been in declining health for some time. And my condolences to Julie and to his boys, John and David, who are great young men. And I remember when these kids were in Boy Scouts, I was in Boy Scouts, so we had a connection there and had a chance to be a part of some of their scouting things. And they asked me to be a part of some stuff when one of the boys, I don't remember if it was Dave or John, that was getting his eagle. And they asked me to be at this ceremony, and I was humbled by that. And being a former Eagle Scout, you know, you always acknowledge your own. And the boys did that. And whenever Julie would come around and say, hey, the boys are selling popcorn, raising money for Scouts, you better believe I was first in line to buy some popcorn, because it was for a good cause, obviously. You didn't have to convince me. So Great family. My condolences to them. He is going to be missed. And I just had to just take a moment just to say, you know, God bless you, Willie. We'll miss you. And to the family, may God's peace and presence rest with you during this time. And it's something that I've said it to different people when a loved one passes. No one is ever truly gone as long as we remember them fondly and hold a special place for them in our hearts. Well, I, for one, am not going to forget Willie. Because, you know, you just don't forget a guy like that. And he will live on. And whatever I do with this podcast, whatever it is, or whatever I do out of this studio, you know, whatever I end up doing, if it's another radio station, you know, or maybe some other projects or whatever, I can honestly say Willie will have had a part in that.
Letters. Oh, we get letters.
Off to the mailbag.
Get your letters every day.
We sure do. All right, well, I did get an email from the research department, Kim Laver in Casper, Wyoming. Kim, thank you so much. Well, I need to take off the headphones here.
Over here, yep,
and get the headsets on, and we're just going to walk out the door here and go down to the research department, because she sent it to this very top secret room that I have here at the Jim Snyder podcast complex, because we got stuff that it has to come in on a secured channel. So let me just get into the room here. Okay, and we got the latest cutting edge technology here for this, So okay, all right. Let's see Kim's transmission. Let me get the code in here. All right. Kim did do some checking on something for me. When was the W. Ross McDonald School for the Blind and Visually Impaired founded? Well, it was founded in 1872. So that's how long it's been around. You might remember me talking about that. I couldn't remember when it came out. Well, also, I was talking about the Starbucks latte. When did that come out? Well, a Starbucks employee by the name of Peter Dukes introduced it, and it was rolled out in 2003. So, all right, let's just get out of here and go back down here to the studio and get back here to the studio and do that. All right, and close the door and get the headphones back on. So, there you go. Kim, as always, you do such a great job. God love you. I'm going to get her on the podcast. Yeah, and we've talked about this. This is no surprise. Kim is going to be a guest on the podcast at some point because she is the research department here, and she's got a great story to tell, and we're definitely going to tell her story.
Another letter from our listeners today.
Now, if you have a question, I'm not going to get into having Kim answer your questions, but if you have a question about the podcast, an idea, you can also email me as well, the Jim Snyder Podcast at gmail.com. That's the Jim Snyder Podcast at gmail.com. Well, as you recall, last week we had part one of my conversation with Kelly McDonald. He is the host of Kelly & Company, heard weekday afternoons all across Canada, 2 until 4 Eastern Time on AMI with his co-host, Rumnia Amuthan. And they have a great show. If you've never caught it, you're definitely missing out on this one because they cover so many different subjects. And we kind of get a little taste into some of the things they talk about on today's podcast, on my podcast today. And so let's just jump right in and pick up with part two of my conversation with Kelly McDonald. As we've talked about radio, and of course we could probably talk about radio all day, and it's fun. You know, when you started working, you got into voice print.
Well, I actually was at CJCS Yeah, I was going to say, for a very little while.
I thought you had worked a little bit in Stratford, but I couldn't remember
where. And I would hit up your boss and stuff like that. I tried to get in over there. I tried even down at you know, everywhere, at Chime. I tried at Cool FM at the time. I tried everywhere from Windsor pretty well out to Oshawa. I thought at one point I was going to have a good chance to get into Oshawa, and I thought I was going to get into the zone at one point. You know, I was really working at a few of these stations then. But what ended up happening is I got in through a human resources development program grant and got into Stratford. And that was a bit tough because Eddie Matthews at the time felt a little pushed to get me involved because Steve Ray, who was owner then, wanted to give me an opportunity. One of my relatives had, you know, said, Hey, you know, my cousin's trying to get into your station. And they saw it as a win-win in the sense of here's this guy wanting to try to get somewhere. So I did a little overnight shift work on some Saturdays for about, I think it was 6 months. And then they hired me to do some actual fill for a couple of times too. But at the same time, I started that on Labor Day weekend, 01. And a couple of days later, I started, as I said, at VoicePrint on the Tuesday, right after Labor Day. Someone who hadn't had a chance to work outside of being in school and some part-time stuff I was doing before school, I had 4 years of which I was stumbling around trying to find something to do at a radio station. I met it with arms wide open. So I was busy for quite a while because I would work in Stratford, still lived in London, and would run to Toronto during the week and stayed and rented a room there from a friend. It was a wonderful time for me. It really was. I was doing the production work. I loved it. Eventually, I would become a coordinator and had my own stable of volunteers that I would oversee until I was asked by our current president CEO, David Arrington, to take on the challenge of doing TV. And again, Jim, I never wanted to do TV. It was when I was a kid, 11 years old, I said, no, I don't really want to do this. I tried doing some work at McLean Hunter 13 at the time, Channel 13 in London as a volunteer. I did a couple of little things for them and said, don't really want to do TV. But had this opportunity at AMI, was requested to take it on as our first national reporter, had no background in doing TV. So we've gotten rid of all that original old stuff because we don't want anyone to see that you know,
it's all burned and buried.
Nasty. All big time gone. Gandhi. So when I started doing that, I kept being asked to, if I had ideas for shows, and we'd kick the ideas around. I didn't get a chance to be a host for a show, but I started working on our AMI This Week magazine show, which just celebrated 10 years. And alongside AMI Audio was AMI TV when we launched it. And I had a lot of great opportunities doing that. And then finally pitched Blindsided, which was a small segment that we would do on ATW. I think, was it on AMI This Week? No, I think it was on our Sharp Focus show that we had for a short time. And then they said, well, what do you think it could be as a half-hour show? So I pitched an idea. We did it for 3 years. The show evolved and was different things at different times, and I think probably that was a bit to its detriment.
That was a show where you actually started doing stuff, where they would shoot you out of a cannon or something like that, right?
Yeah, go out and do all sorts of crazy stuff, put me in the garb and let a police training dog attack my arm, different things like that. Oh, yeah. And it was wonderful. Got to go to different places, met a lot of wonderful people, and had a lot of fun. I think our first season to me was great because we got to do some great interviews with different people. And then we had to change the format because the show kind of straddled formats, and for funding purposes, it made it tough. So season 2 and 3 became a bit different. And we had a production company that actually we got involved. So they actually own it. So you don't really see it anymore on AMI. I think AMI actually only holds the rights to one season now. So the other two are really out there in YouTube land, and unfortunately never got sold anywhere else.
I'm surprised that you never, doing what you did with that show, got to hang out with Rick Mercer. That would have been kind of a neat crossover if you think about it.
Yeah, it would have been really fun. Rick's a great person in that sense, and it's funny too because one of the management, the guys who oversees what we do, Andrew. You know, I know he was a big fan of Rick Mercer. So, yeah, I don't think that idea had occurred to him at the time. Now, geez. And just as when Rick started to get out of it, we ended up ramping down Blindsided to make way for Kelly and Company. And I had people asking me when I was going to leave the TV side, are you serious, Kel? And at that time, being fair and speaking quite frankly, AMI Audio did not have a lot of audience. You know, the volunteers, when we had them back years before, would ask, how many people listen to this show? Well, does it matter? You know, you try to sell them the line. Does it matter? You could be helping one person. That's what counts, right?
Well, that's the way this podcast is. All five listeners.
Exactly. And, you know, and you're, hey, I'm reaching one person. That's what counts.
And that's the way you have to think of it that way. You have to look at it that way. Because when you...
Well, we laughed at Fanshawe because we said the same thing. We had 40,000 listeners and most of us chuckled and 90% of us knew wherever I get work for the next 20 years, I'll never have 40,000 listeners.
But yeah, and that's just the thing. And I've always maintained with this podcast is that if I can inspire one person to go after their goals and dreams, then I've done something.
It's your labor of love, Jim.
Well, exactly. And it's also just part of what, you know, I guess the mission statement of this thing is. And it was like when I was producing a radio show for the church that I was working or that I was attending in South Carolina. I was doing this on the side. Clear Channel had no idea at the time. It was Clear Channel. They're now iHeart. At the time, they had no idea that I was producing a weekly radio show on one of these local little AM stations in Charleston. It ran on Sunday mornings from like 10 to 11 or 11 till, I think it was 11 till noon. And I basically produced a show. I wasn't on the show. It was already voiced by a guy by the name of Mark Cardinella. And I was taking the sermons, cutting them up, putting music in from the worship team, and almost making it like the church was Seacoast Christian Community Church. And I make it sound like a Seacoast service on the radio. And I would put these together every week. And we knew that there weren't a lot of people listening because there was a pastor that was kind of like, okay, we're going to give you this to kind of, you know, to be in charge of, because Seacoast is considered one of the big mega churches in the U.S. It's a, you know, large, large ministry now. And even was at that point, I was very fortunate that I had a chance to get involved with that because I heard that they were doing this show. And I said, if you need any help, let me know. And the guys, like the pastor that was kind of overseeing this, he said, I'd love to have you help because I just don't have time to do this. Could you do this? I'm like, sure. Give me the tools. Show me what you need me to do where I can access all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I just started doing it. But I never told anybody over at Clear Channel. I think my boss might have known and he didn't. It didn't bother him. But management, the upper management sure didn't know. With me and the pastor, I always said, you know what, Sean? I said, Sean, here's the thing. You got to look at it. If we get to one person, that's what's important. One person, we reach one person.
Yep.
And so, you know, we can giggle about this and laugh about it, but really it's the same thing with AMI.
We always think of the target audience member. We were always taught that in broadcast school, right? You are speaking to who's your ideal listener, who's the target listener. And we, for AMI Audio, we knew the TV side. I mean, I had people stopping me on the street wanting to talk about what we were doing on ATW or what I was doing on Blindsided. And Jim, the beautiful thing is they weren't, well, as a blind person, do you ever get scared? I'm so amazed to see you get up with your hair comb. Well, when I had hair. But the point is, it was all the questions that they would ask somebody else what they were doing. So for me, for what we do at AMI, I knew we were selling it. We were creating normacy. It wasn't a shock. And my goodness, they weren't calling people in from the other room to see the blind person that's on TV. Adversely, the same thing with our radio show. With Kelly and Company on AMI Audio, we started to make headway along with some of our other shows over there and are very proud of the listenership the whole network has now, people tuning in because they wanted immediacy, and I get to play radio now. 20 years after, more than that, I graduate Fanshawe. No, well, a little under, I shouldn't say that. Well, we started Kelly and Company, it was 2016. I left Fanshawe in 98. And, you know, all that time, I was finally on air doing radio the way that I had wanted to do. And, you know, my co-host Ramya bought into what we wanted to do at the show. The whole team, has our Kelly and Company way of doing the show, and we're quite proud. And in the meanwhile, I've had opportunity, Jim, to do voice work, which is one of the other things. I mean, when I was doing theater in the 80s, one of the girls I worked with was doing voices for the My Pet Monster cartoon, the Archie's cartoon, and I said, geez, I'd like to get in on that. Would be amazing. Very closed environment, but I have had so many opportunities that I would have never had, ever experienced, whether it's addressing the CRTC as we pitched for the AMI TV channel, whether it's doing hosting my own show on TV, hosting a national show on what would be the equivalent of any broadcast radio channel out there, even though we're delivered via television, via online, have a podcast for Kelly and Company. No matter what one says, I'm doing the same and have so many opportunities at the broadcaster that when I left college, I didn't stop really to look at for a little while. And then when I did, it took a little while for them to be able to have a position they could offer me. And I thought, you know, I'm blind. I really don't want to be just like I've had this same thing in theater. I don't want to be typecast. I don't want to always play the blind person. I want to be a person working at a broadcaster like yourself, Jim, where you were able to show people, hey, this low vision person can do the job the same as anyone else. I wanted to make it easier because so many of people in our community want to work in broadcasting. And I did what I could, met a lot of program directors, had the opportunity to work at CJCS, but I also realized after a while, hey man, you know what? You get to do a lot of things. You're appreciated where you are. You know, there's something to be said for, you know, getting our money from the government. We were lucky through recession times when things were tough. Sure, we had to tighten belts. We had to be careful and always justify, you know, what we're doing with our money and be responsible to the listener out there and be accountable to the people of Canada, because it's an honor to be trusted to do the right things for a community and be charged with that by the government. So, you know, we try to do our best to be transparent and do the right things and take a lot of feedback from the community to kind of get it right to the best of our ability. And doing Kelly and Company, I get that platform along with Ramya to be able to speak, to be able to talk about our disability a little bit, but it's about the topics. It's about teaching. It's about bringing people on the show. And as I say, show up for class each day, get to be class clowns, but learn so much from our different contributors on a show that's mandate is to bring in lifestyle, health, entertainment, and, you know, bring you a wide variety of subjects.
And you cover so much. You cover such a myriad, and we could do a whole show, a whole podcast on just Kelly and Company in itself. And that's because I was going to ask you what would be the best way to describe Kelly and Company, but you just did, because you guys cover.
I think it's the best way.
Yeah, you cover the gamut. So where do you see yourself going as far as with what you're doing? Because you've got to, I wouldn't say you've reached to the top of the mountain, because you're like me. You're like, I've not arrived yet, because none of us have arrived yet. But where do you go from here?
I think, Jim, at some point, maybe I'll do a little more podcasting stuff, but I found myself more lazy. I don't do as much theater as I used to now, community theater, puttering around with that. I think there'll come a time where I may actually want to get back into more writing, because I used to do a little of that for theater just for fun. I think I might try to do that, because I've always been a very weak writer, reader, speller in my life, so that's something I'd like to do. But I'll tell you another area that I've been blessed and lucky enough to do. As much as I said I'd like to do some voice work, I've been hired to do some things, and that's been nice. And one of the coolest things so far that I'd love to develop more is I was hired to do a bit of a video description for Netflix. So there's stuff that I've had that chance to do that's out there. I've also been hired to do video description for a film festival, and it's really wonderful to lend my voice to those things and get that chance. And I think when I retire, because let's be fair, you got a lot of younger people at AMI right now that they're seeing the door open for them. There's more opportunity than when I started there, when we only had 19 staff, And now there's much more that we're trying to do and get people involved in TV productions on the audio side. No, you know, we're not able to have a 24-hour day broadcast with you know, fresh hosts needed all the time. No, but there's some more opportunity. I think I have to understand, too, that there's that time where I have to step a little bit aside to give other people those opportunities. You can't be, oh, let's go back. Kelly again, as well as still wanting to stay as involved as I can and you know, want to still be as pertinent to the network, to the listenership. I love it. I'm very lucky what I get to do. But I'm also an admirer and the biggest fan of a lot of my coworkers that are hosting, that are on air and getting a chance on the TV and audio side to do stuff. The many people we have come in as community reporters across the country who have never touched broadcasting, and some of them actually are interested and always have and never thought they would get involved. We have a stable of people creating podcasts at AMI Audio that don't necessarily go to air, you know, but have their own podcasts that they are creating, producing, and it's amazing stuff and opportunities that we didn't have before. The same with the apprenticeship program. I sit back and feel like what's the old term, Jim? I'm sitting in the catbird seat.
Yes.
Because I get to see so many people who are getting that passion that you and I had years ago. And I'm already there. As you say, I'm up there. I feel very comfortable where I am. I'm still looking for some challenges, but some of that fun is watching these guys achieve and knowing, man, that person's going to be damn good.
So what kind of advice, and I try to wrap my conversations up with folks with this question. If there's one bit of advice that you could give to anyone, whether they're going to get into broadcasting or they want to get into broadcasting or whatever it is that they want to chase, what would it be?
Be realistic about your goals, your dreams. Don't give up on the dreams. Realistic because you may have to alter them or change them. As a person with a disability, speaking to you, don't ever get it in your mind you'd stop ever proving yourself. And when I say that, having to educate, having to prove, nobody's made you an ambassador. You weren't born into it. But in most cases, it works in our best interest to sometimes answer those questions that really grate on you, because at least somebody, if they're asking a true question, seems to want to know. Whether it's at a job interview and you think, this is a ridiculous question, I'm going to tell this person they can't ask me that. Really weigh it out, because that could be the difference of you getting a job or not. And you have plenty of time if you get the job to show people how capable you are. And I think that is some of the area that I always feel when it comes to proving ourselves, well, it's not fair. I shouldn't have to prove people. I can go to the elevator, go downstairs and leave the building by myself. But yet people are asking me, how do you do this? How do you do that? And they're asking it because of my disability. And I always remind people, well, yeah, but there is a level of, would you rather them not care? Would you rather them not want to ask because they think it's too private and personal, and therefore they're not comfortable to ask you the one question that might make them hire you, because they simply just don't understand or don't know, and you might be able to say one little thing that changes the whole game for them.
And that's a tough, that's a tough tightrope to walk, because they, and you and I have been in this situation, I have, gosh, many times, and have had the opportunity to sit before some pretty highfalutin guys and girls, and some who are basically there because they're the owner's son or something like that. It's the one thing you want to be able to bring it out so that they can feel comfortable, because they don't want to say something they think is gonna get them in a lawsuit. And that's the rough thing. And I don't know, I've not had enough experience in this country, in Canada, because I've only worked at two different places, is that how, at least how it works in the States with EEO, with affirmative action, which you may find this kind of, you might not agree with this, but I'm not a big fan of affirmative action, because why should we hire somebody that we can't fire?
Mm-hmm.
But
Jim, doesn't that go with some of the whole, why we should, like, some people used to get upset about being hired because the government says, we need you to hire more people of this, that, and the other thing. And I remember a lot of disabled people saying, well, if I'm not qualified for the job, I shouldn't have it. And I agree.
Yeah.
But I also know there's times where if you give someone a chance, you may not, whether they're equally qualified, but because you're nervous of bringing them on because of accessibility needs, equipment they might need, if that support is there and that person gets a chance to show, yeah, I can do the job, I have the same credentials as somebody else, I can do it. I've always said, you know what, I am kind of for some of that stuff. You know, do I think it's nice to, well, hire Kelly because we need to hire more black people and there's enough white people here, forget it. You know, we don't need to hire more. No, you've got to hire the person most qualified. But on the same token, if I am getting that chance and I prove myself, however, if I don't prove myself, there shouldn't be a problem out the door.
Right. Well, but the thing is, affirmative action in the States kind of, it's based upon numbers, and it's right. Not necessarily on qualifications. And my dad running a business, not a retail business, but he would be required to hire so many of this, so many of that. And yep. Sometimes there just wasn't a good pool to draw from. But,
yeah.
But that's the one thing that I like about, and I'll be honest, and I had someone explain this to me when I came to Canada, when I came to see KPC, and I'll just say it, is a guy by the name of Ted Lehman, who you may have yep. heard of. Ted said to me,
I've talked to Ted.
Oh, Ted's a great guy. I like yep. Ted. Ted and I get yep. along great. But Ted, I remember Ted saying to me, he says, Jim, you got to understand something. In this country, the government here in Canada looks favorably upon broadcasters who hire minorities. You are considered a minority. And if he says, that's why you see so many people of color and of different ethnicities on television, because the government looks favorably upon that. And I'd like to think that people get hired because they're qualified. I'm all for diversity. I want diversity. I want to see all kinds of people get the opportunity, but get the job because you deserve it, because you work That's for right. it, because you have the means to do it, not just because you fit into a particular category.
That's right.
And
that goes for the schools at being fair. And we see this now as the call to action with the Indigenous community. You know, hey, man, you got to start opening the doors for people to have the means, the access to get the education, to get the jobs, and stop just, you know, we want to start making sure that we take care of the people who are here who want to do the jobs and stuff like that, but don't know where to go or where, how to do it. And I think that that's sometimes the area we fall short of, making sure people know, yeah, it's open to you too. Come along and here's where you get your information. None of this, well, it's not our fault that they don't live in Toronto, Montreal, or Vancouver to find out about this. And I want to see that. I really, like you say, Jim, we are in a very wonderful position. And I know there are certain areas where you'll say, hey, there's not a lot of people doing this job or doing that job of color, or how come this seems to be something that only, you know, we know the countries around the world where massage therapists are blind people and nobody else that does that, you know, where other blind people here will say, good grief, I just got to get through anatomy so I can get my job being a massage therapist. And it can be really tough for some people in different ways. And I know how many people dream of broadcasting and would like to do it, taught to people all the time. And you and I know there are a lot of people coming out of schools, but there's not a lot of jobs. And it's hard when people are asking you. And I know, again, I go back to sitting in that very privileged seat that I feel now that I'm in. But I never let myself forget what it was like to talk to all those program directors, to wonder, will I ever do this? Will I ever be able to live out the dream that I wanted? And now this many years, Jim, I do theater when I want to. I have a talk show. I've had TV show. I've had more than anyone could. And I really, anyone loving broadcasting, I've been in a very, yes, there's still other things I'd like to do. Yeah. But I'm in a very enviable situation. And I really like to try to encourage others to do their best to live out, I don't care what your dream is, to the best of your ability, and be realistic, have fun doing it. Understand there's lots of places to trip. Certainly I do it. I still do it. Lots of places to be frustrated. But when you can look and say, hey, I get to do this and I don't hate what I do. Yeah, that's a pretty lucky spot.
As a friend of mine once said, doing what you love is freedom. Loving what you do, that's happiness. But it's so true.
Though. Yeah, and most people, unfortunately don't enjoy their work. At least when I say that, you know, they show up, they do their job, they go home and they get paid and they get to be able to do the things, plan trips, buy maybe a home or whatever. But there's that period of time where it's just, I'm on autopilot. You know,
I think we all go through that. We do. I think we all go through that phase, but no, but you've done obviously very well for yourself. Kelly McDonald, heard weekday afternoons on AMI on Kelly and Company with Ramya Amutha from 2 until 4 Eastern Time. What a great show.
Thanks. Well, thank you for having me on the podcast, Jim. I've been looking forward to this opportunity just to sit, talk with you about radio and just everything. And thanks a lot for the invite.
Kelly, it's been a pleasure. Well, I really hope you enjoyed my conversation with Kelly McDonald, host of Kelly and Company, co-host him and Ramya Amutha every weekday afternoon, 2 until 4 Eastern on Accessible Media Inc. all across Canada. Now, I do want to mention one quick thing before we move on, is that when we were talking about one of the questions that Kim answered from the email bag, it was a pumpkin spice latte that was developed and rolled out from Starbucks, and employee, particularly Peter Dukes, rolled that out for Starbucks in 2003. It wasn't just a regular latte. I forgot to mention, I was so excited getting the information out to you that I forgot to specify. How could I do something like that? I know, I'm just, it's terrible. That's why I'm selling lemonade for a living. And I don't get it. But anyway, that's the pumpkin spice latte story. And of course, W. Ross McDonald, the Ontario School for the Blind here in Brantford, was founded back in 1872. So thank you once again, Kim, for that. Kim is my research person, and she gets another generous helping of my undying gratitude.
Here comes a really bad pun from the Jim Spider Podcast.
Well, now that we've got all that put to bed, we can move on to the really bad pun, and I've got a bad one for you today. Well, they're all bad, but especially this one. What do you get when you cross a duck and a high chair? Well, you get a stool pigeon. Now, if you have a pun you'd like to share with me, you're more than welcome to do so. The Jim Snyder Podcast at gmail.com. You can do that with pun suggestions, suggestions for guests, ideas for the podcast, questions, criticisms, accolades, your pumpkin spice latte recipes, as long as we're talking pumpkin spice, because it is fall. Why not? I love a good pumpkin spice latte, and my wife has a good recipe that we like to try every now and then. All righty, well, that's going to wrap it up for episode 23. We're up to 23 already of these things. The Jim Snyder Podcast. My goodness, it just keeps growing and growing and growing. Well, thank you so much for joining me, and we'll do it all again next time. And until next time, this is Jim Snyder reminding you, it's not what happens to you in life that's important. It's how you respond that really counts. We'll talk again real soon. Hey.